The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, September 17th. We'll tell you about the historic flooding across the Gulf Coast and where the storm, once known as Hurricane Sally, is headed next. Also, the U.S. government has a new playbook for how to hand out a COVID-19 vaccine. We'll break it down. Plus, the Big Ten changes course and it's getting back to football this fall after all. Twitter's updates ahead of Election Day and Ray-Ban's plans for smart glasses. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. First, an update about what was once Hurricane Sally. It's now battering Florida and Alabama with what the National Hurricane Center calls catastrophic and life-threatening flooding. The storm made landfall at Gulf Shores, Alabama, as a Category 2 hurricane yesterday. It's since been downgraded. At last check this morning, it's now a tropical depression. But as expected, it's still doing a lot of damage to parts of the Gulf Coast. In Pensacola, Florida, the fire chief told CNN the storm brought 4 months of rain in 4 hours. Some areas have already gotten more than 2 feet of rain, and they could end up getting another foot this morning. In one Florida county, that includes Pensacola, that flooding hit a depth of 5 feet. Nearly 400 people had to be rescued there. Today, about 200 National Guard members are going into the area in case there are other people who are still trapped. Over in the town of Orange Beach, Alabama, one person has died. Across both states, Florida and Alabama, about 500,000 people lost power. The force of the storm knocked down power lines, blew off roofs, and uprooted trees in some places. In both Alabama and Florida, officials are telling people to stay inside, not to go out and look at the damage yet. They say it's too dangerous for most people, especially with roads damaged and many live power lines still in the streets. Electrical crews from other states traveled to the southeast to help restore power as soon as possible. As of early this morning, the storm is still moving slowly at around 7 miles an hour, so Alabama and Florida are still getting the worst of it. Eventually later today, the storm is expected to move into Georgia and South Carolina, weakening as it goes. The U.S. government has now outlined a new plan for a coronavirus vaccine. The CDC unveiled a so-called playbook for states and local governments. One part of the plan, it would have COVID-19 vaccines available for free. Taxpayers technically already put up the money, but Congress and the Trump administration agreed to allocate it for these vaccines. Another key part of the CDC playbook, it tells state health agencies to create vaccine planning committees made up of leaders from places like hospitals, long-term care facilities, and pharmacies. Still, it's not clear which vaccine will be ready first. Remember, both Moderna and Pfizer have potential vaccines in their final phase of testing in the U.S. The CDC says as soon as one of them gets the okay, it will start to be distributed within 24 hours. At first, though, NBC News reports, it's likely that initial supply will not meet demand. So the CDC playbook says vaccination programs will have to start gradually. Healthcare workers, other essential employees, and people at high risk of severe illness are expected to take top priority for who gets the vaccine first. One thing that's important for states to work out is how to track when people get a vaccine and which one they get if more than one will eventually be approved. The front-runner vaccines both require 2 doses, either 21 or 28 days apart. States and cities have a month to submit their plans. Well, in a new, strongly worded report, lawmakers say both Boeing and the FAA did not do enough to prevent 2 deadly plane crashes. The report comes after an 18-month investigation into what caused the 2 Boeing 737 MAX jets to crash. Democrats on the House Transportation Committee put the findings together, saying there was a horrific culmination of mistakes that set the stage for the crashes. It points to bad engineering and says Boeing rushed through production. Ultimately, the report found the company put profits ahead of safety. It also says the plane maker withheld critical information about the 737 MAX from the FAA, its customers, and pilots. And overall, it says Boeing's culture needs a safety reset. As for the FAA, the report says the government agency had terrible oversight and sometimes dismissed its own experts to side with Boeing. NPR reports, to date, this is probably the most comprehensive investigation of what happened leading up to the crashes. Lawmakers combed through 600,000 pages of records and interviewed 2 dozen people to put this report together. Some now say they'll draft up new legislation based on their findings. Now, it is worth noting no Republican staffers signed off on that report, and some said an overhaul of the company is not really necessary, calling the report partisan. Meanwhile, Boeing says it has learned many hard lessons from the crashes, and it's making fundamental changes within the company. To this day, the 737 MAX jet is still grounded. It hasn't flown since March of last year. That could soon change, though. Boeing had worked with pilots and the FAA to fix the plane, and it could soon be recertified to fly. The Big Ten wants to get back at it. The College Sports Conference just reversed course and is now going to give fall football a shot after all. Remember, just 5 weeks ago, the Big Ten delayed fall sports, pushing it to the spring, hoping to keep players safe. Well, there's now a change of plans. The conference now says it'll start up the football season the weekend of October 23rd instead. The university presidents and chancellors were the ones to change their minds and make that call. They now say the safety protocols should be enough. Keep in mind, they faced plenty of pressure from players, coaches, parents, and even President Trump over the last month to restart games. And now they will. All 14 teams will be scheduled to play 8 regular season games in 8 weeks. Plus, they'll have the opportunity to play a 9th game in December, the conference championship. And to be clear, this reversal from the Big Ten only applies to football. Other fall sports like soccer and volleyball are still on hold for now. All right, we have much more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit, and ever since I tried it, I know why. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut and try new things. And here's the key, it's quick and easy. Say goodbye to last-minute grocery runs or stressful meal planning. Instead, HelloFresh delivers fresh, high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients alongside easy-to-follow seasonal recipes so you can make delicious, nutritious meals in just about 30 minutes. My husband and I have fun cooking together when it's this easy and convenient. We've made meals like crispy Parmesan chicken with garlic, herb couscous, and lemony roasted carrots in just a half an hour. And I love that you never overbuy or waste food. Plus, HelloFresh even gives back, donating millions of meals to charity. Go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy and use the code 80newsworthy to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for details. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy and use the code 80newsworthy. Now, back to the news. The Federal Reserve is promising to keep interest rates low for years to come, until at least 2023. This affects borrowing costs for home buyers, credit card users, businesses, and more. So the Fed hopes continued low interest rates will encourage more borrowing and spending. And it's needed. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell pointed out Americans are not spending at the rate they used to be, and that the job market is still hurting. Of course, things have improved since the peak of the economic downturn earlier this year. Back in April, the unemployment rate was nearly 15%. It's rebounded a lot. Now it's down to about 8.5%. But that's still much higher than the pre-pandemic rate of 3.5%. Chairman Powell said he's happy to see some progress, but he also won't lose sight of the millions of Americans still out of work. He promised the interest rates will stay at near zero, quote, until the economy is far along in its recovery. Powell said he wants to see Congress take action to provide more economic relief. President Trump agrees he's now showing his support for that $1.5 trillion relief bill we mentioned yesterday. It's not clear what's included in this proposed bill, but we know a bipartisan group of lawmakers has been working on it, hoping a compromise is actually possible. To be continued. Starting today, Twitter is cracking down on misinformation about the election. The social network says it'll start labeling or even removing more types of misleading election claims. For example, it will intervene if someone says the election is rigged or the ballots are being tampered with without evidence. And overall, Twitter says it will not allow tweets that spread confusion or undermine democracy to go unchecked. You'll start seeing those changes now. And then on Election Day, there's another rule. Twitter will not allow what it considers misleading information about the outcome of elections. The company gave an example. No claiming victory before the numbers are in and certified. President Trump and some other Republicans have criticized Twitter for this type of thing, accusing the company of bias against conservatives. Oh, and remember, Facebook is also making some changes ahead of the election. For example, it's not going to allow any new political ads in the week leading up to it. Speaking of Facebook, it's teaming up with the maker of Ray-Ban, as in the luxury sunglasses brand. The companies will be working together to design a pair of so-called smart glasses that are set to be released next year. No word yet on what kind of features they'll have, but TechCrunch reports they'll be Ray-Ban branded. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says these smart glasses are, quote, the next step on the road to augmented reality glasses. The company is joining a crowded field, though. The Verge reports Amazon, Apple, Google, and Intel have their own projects for smart glasses in the works as well. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced its nominees for the class of 2021. The biggest name on the list is Peyton Manning. He's a two-time Super Bowl winner and five-time MVP. And this is the first year he's eligible to be a nominee. He's in the running alongside other football greats like Super Bowl champion Charles Woodson and Pro Bowlers Calvin Johnson, Roddy White, and Charles Tillman. In total, there are 130 nominees, which will eventually get narrowed down to just five winners. They'll then be inducted next August. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today we're explaining Emergency Use Authorization, or EUA. The FDA will give a medical product this special kind of authorization during a public health emergency. Sometimes it's for a product that's already been FDA approved for one type of use, but the same product will get emergency authorization for a different type of use. Other times it's for a new medical product that hasn't gotten the agency's official green light at all yet. The FDA does this so products can get out to the public as quickly as possible during an emergency, when there's no FDA-approved alternative at least, since getting actual FDA approval traditionally takes years. Still, the agency will not give just anything emergency use authorization. The FDA says the potential benefits of a certain product have to outweigh the potential risks. During the coronavirus pandemic, the FDA has granted a lot of EUAs for things like testing kits, ventilators, and treatments like remdesivir and convalescent plasma. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.